All right, and then if you would turn in your Bibles, please, I'll leave that just for a few more moments. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll be looking at later part of the passage we looked at that was read to you earlier. 2 Peter, right near the back of your New Testament. If you go to the back, you've got Revelation, before that Jude, and then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and before that 2 Peter. If you still can't find it, try the index at the front. And there's no shame in using that. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to review some things before we get to this passage. Noah preached for 120 years before the flood came. 3 weeks ago, we were privileged to be able to go to the Creation Museum out in Kentucky. Wonderful, wonderful job they have done there in showing creation, but also the work they've done on the flood. Really thought it through, and if you are going on vacation any time out that way, it's well worth the trip. You get a ticket for one day, it's good for two. Noah preaches for 120 years. He builds this object lesson to get people's attention. It's massive. They've got a tenth of the size of it in that museum, and they're going to build a full-size one apparently outside. With the exception of 8 people, that entire generation perished. And you know this flood wasn't just in the Middle East. It was around the world. You want to know how the Grand Canyon was formed? Start talking flood. You want to know how we've got beach stones on the roofs of mountains in Africa? Think flood. 120 years, 8 people survive, the rest of humanity dies. After the flood, the Canaanites existed in the land we know as the Holy Land for well over 400 years, building a culture that worshipped idols, involved sexual activity in their worship. Then judgment came in the form of Israel invading the land. They wiped out a whole bunch of them, and then the tokens were removed later so that they ceased to exist after a while. After the initial conquest of the land, and while the Canaanites were being wiped out, Israel's spiritual temperature cooled off again. And this is something that I struggle with in the history of Israel. Hot, lukewarm, cold. Hot, lukewarm, cold. That seems to be their history, and it's painful. I'm like, come on, guys, wake up. But then I look at my own life, and I sort of calm down a bit. Israel cools off. We go to the era of the judges. And that's just a dreadful cycle from hot to cold, and it's depressing. I'm reading it in my quiet time at the moment. Then the nation divides into two parts. One never had a decent king. The other one had some occasionally. Israel, in its history, ended up hearing the ministry of a number of prophets. Yet, in the main, they ignored them, or they killed them. Ignored them or killed them. Can you imagine? Hey, I got called in the ministry. I'm a prophet of God. Well, you're not going to get life insurance. You're too big of a risk. Having seen the warnings that God gave them, and having had plenty of time in their history to chew on the warnings, to think about it and respond, they were then judged and sent into exile for 70 years. After the 70 years, they come back to the Holy Land. Some of them kicking and screaming because they built homes and got vegetable gardens planted there, but they're not meant to be in Babylon, they're meant to be in Israel. But they start cooling off again. And after that cooling off, there was what we call 400 silent years. Now, I need to say something. While they were silent years in terms of God's speaking to the nation Israel, they did have the scriptures, so they were not silent. It was silent only as regards new prophecy, new revelation. After that 400 years, God sends his son to add human flesh, humanity, to his deity. He now becomes the God-man. He lives on earth a perfect life, never sins. A ton of prophecy is fulfilled in front of their eyes. And in AD 30, in appreciation, the nation Israel send their Messiah to the cross. We just remembered that this morning. In case we Gentiles think we're off the hook, we were just as much part of that decision. humanity sent the Son of God to the cross. And yet he chose to go there. It's a coming together of the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Israel were then given 40 years after the crucifixion to chew on things. During that time, they noticed there was a new spokesman for God. It was the church. It's got going. It's now speaking for God in the world. God's not speaking to Israel. In AD 70-odd, Israel saw its temple being destroyed when Rome came in and just wiped it out. They were then dispersed through the Gentile world. That was a judgment, and Jesus predicted that while he was here on earth. Going back slightly, AD 30, the church begins, and it's continued to the present time. Now, I'm not sure the church will still be going at the end of the day. Because if the rapture comes, we're out of here. Amen? The church began then. It goes to the rapture. Our message to the world is very simple. You're lost in your sin. There's nothing in anyone in this race, the human race, that makes them acceptable to God. In fact, you're his enemies. Romans 5:10 tells us, for if when we were enemies, the wages of sin is death. But we then give the gospel, the good news. While you can't make yourself and I can't make myself acceptable to God, he sent his Son to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, to be buried and to rise again, so that if we believe in him, he makes us acceptable to God. But only to those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, apart from works or ancestor worship or anything. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. That's our message to the world. Some people have listened. I see some of them here today, but I can't see in your hearts. The Spirit of God might be actually tapping on your heart door right now, making you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Listen to him. If you're not a Christian, most people in our world have ignored the message of the gospel. It's a tragedy. Here is a chance to escape the judgment to come, and people have ignored it. They laugh at our message. They laugh at the message of the Bible. They say it's old-fashioned. We've moved on. We've evolved to higher levels. Well, if they call this evolution, then let's go backwards. We are a hopeless race. You know, we're downgrading. Ask any doctor. We are downgrading each generation. If that's evolution, we're going to need billions of years to ever upgrade. Not going to happen. They say they've put that behind them. Next thing on the prophetic timetable, the next guaranteed fact in humanity is the rapture. Suddenly and unexpectedly, the Lord is going to blow the trumpet of the Lord, and he's going to call the church to meet him in the air. He'll meet them in the air, not on the ground, separate event, that's the second coming. He'll meet the church in the air, take us out of the world. Precedent, the flood. That in itself will be a judgment on the world, because those who remain will go through the seven-year tribulation after that. And during that time, two-thirds of humanity will die. So you want to talk about bad life expectancy? Don't get saved and hang around for the tribulation. Not a good idea. When the alternative is free, he paid for it for us. During the seven-year tribulation, people will have a chance as they watch the judgments of God, as he pours his wrath out on the world. They'll have a chance to think, to look, to observe. He's giving them 7 years. Do you know what most of the people are going to do? They're going to say, get lost! There's one that just hit us last year. We had a hailstorm, and Deanna was caught in one with balls that size. Edward's church had hailstones that size going through the tile roof, right through the tile roof on his church. In Revelation, we have hailstones the size of 8 to 10-year-old children coming down on us. Deanna was caught in that one, and it was terrifying. It's terrifying. If you own something and it's being hailed on, but if you're trying to survive 120-pound hailstones, let me tell you, you need something very solid over your head. Trees won't cut it. When that happens during the tribulation, people are going to go, "How dare you do that to God?" Can you imagine? That's going to be their response. They'll have had plenty of warning. All right. I've given you a lot of thoughts there. We've walked through Bible history from beginning to end in some ways. Let's read it now from the Scriptures and see how the Scriptures put it. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just going to read 9 verses. "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Verse 3, "knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where's the promise of his coming?'" That's in today's newspaper. That's how current that is. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." That's what they're saying. Now listen to this. "And this they willfully forget. Not absent-mindedly, they choose to forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." They choose to forget that. They use evolution to help them forget it. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." You don't need to worry about man-made global warming. God is going to blow the place up a lot better than we could ever do. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." He's not forgetful like we are, as some count slackness, "but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In case you have not caught my message this morning, I want us to turn now to Revelation chapter 2, one of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. See if you can get the message this morning. "And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent." God has given people, right through history, time. Right now, he's giving us time. He gives us time to show our true colors, what's in our heart. But he also gives us time to get right with him. He gives us time to repent. That's the title of the message this morning, Time to Repent. What must we do between now and the rapture, which we know is the next event that's going to happen prophetically, where God intervenes in the world situation? If you're a non-Christian here this morning, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to use the remaining time you have in your life to repent. Now, in South Africa, run about now, I would be telling you, you don't know when you're going to die. Someone could go by and you could be shot dead before the service is over. We haven't had that happen, but it's possible. In this country, someone told me last week, he felt some pains in his chest. And he went to the hospital, which was less than a quarter of a mile away. And he went into cardiac arrest in the hospital, and he died. He was revived. He then did it again, was revived, and then did it again, and was revived. Now, I just have to say as an aside, he didn't see Jesus. We get a lot of whack jobs that are going out there saying that. But he said, a heart attack can take you before the service is over. So your remaining time, you don't know how long you've got. So with urgency, I urge you, please, if you're not saved here today, please deal with the gospel right now. Now is the moment of salvation. If you accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will avoid the judgment that is coming, a judgment you don't have to go through. It's free. I don't know a better deal than that. Do you? You don't even have to give $29.99 or call 1-800. You can pray to God right from your seat and it's free. He paid. Now, you might be saying, great. But all I'm going to ask you unsaved people is, what will you do with the time God is giving you? Will you waste it? Will you use it? Christians, you're not off the hook. I'm an equal opportunity challenger. He is giving us time too. Time to do what He told us to do. Time to live a godly life. Time to tell others about the free offer of salvation. He's giving us time to do that. He wants us to go and tell people they can avoid the judgment by becoming His children. And He has paid the price so they can be saved. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity we have? And we will earn rewards in heaven for doing that. I can't think of a better deal. He'll even enable us while we're doing it. It's not difficult. We just have to use our big mouths and talk and live. Oh, that's the problem, isn't it? It's us. Christian, what will you do with the time you have remaining in this life? When we're saved, we're not taken to heaven immediately. Why? Because that's not the end goal. The end goal is for us to live for Him in this world, to tell others about Him and to bring glory to His name. That's why He's left us here. If He wasn't, He would have taken us to be with Him immediately. What are you doing with the time you have remaining? What am I doing with the time I have remaining? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. Thank You for Your free offer of salvation. We don't deserve it. We rebelled against You. We're sinners. But thank You for giving us salvation. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that hasn't yet trusted You, we pray that today they would accept Jesus Christ as Savior. For those who are saved, I pray we would be more determined to use the remaining time of our lives to live for You, to use that time wisely. By Your enablement, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.